Make sure you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Yet he chose Judas because he wanted him to be with him. The fact that Judas finally departed to go to his own place, as Peter put it in Acts 1, does not alter the will of Jesus that Judas be his.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Mark.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. I'm sure you recall that last time, Jesus left the confrontation at the synagogue and resorted to his favorite spot, the lakeside. But we heard that word was spreading like wildfire about him, and so the crowds just kept swelling. They were coming to him from the immediate area, Galilee, but also from the south, Judea and Jerusalem, and even farther south, Idumea, Gentile territory. They were coming to him from the east, beyond the Jordan, more Gentile territory, like we'll hear in a bit with the Gadarene demoniac, and from Tyre and Zidon to the north and west, again, Gentile territory. Remember how Chemnitz saw in this a hint at the future gathering of the Gentiles into the church? Jesus asks for a boat so that he can escape the grasping hands of the crowd where folks thronged him just to get a touch in somewhere, and there he began to do more than heal bodies, but heal souls also, by teaching the word. We learn that when the demons saw him, they fell flat on their faces and confessed the truth about him, but he strictly told them to keep it quiet. A reading from St. Mark, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and have authority to cast out demons. He appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder, Andrew and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." St. Mark 3, verses 13 to 21. Let us pray. Lord, open now our hearts to hear, and through your word to us draw near. Let us, your word, heir true, retain. Let us, your children, and heirs remain. Amen. Well, are you ready to dig into God's word for today from St. Mark? I sure am. Let's get into it. Verse 13, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came up to him. Now, St. Mark does not include that this trip up the mountain involved Jesus in an entire night of prayer. For that, you need St. Luke 6, verse 12. And from St. Luke's words, it is apparent that this is quite a momentous occasion. Christ is about to choose his army, and he doesn't do any of it lightly. And I do not want to pass by that verb without comment. He called to him those whom he desired. My church, the Lutheran Church, speaks generally of pastors being called. Here you learn why. And the passive there, being called, is a way of getting at the fact that the call actually comes from the Lord Jesus, even when it happens, as it does among us, that it is mediated through other people. Still, it's ultimately Christ who calls, and it is first and foremost a call to himself, a call to him, for they'll be carrying out his marching orders and no one else's. In our church, we teach that no one is to publicly preach or teach or administer the sacraments unless he is rightly called, which is a way of confessing that the ministry connects to Jesus. Verse 14, and he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him, and he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out demons. First thing to notice is that he calls to himself and then publicly appoints. He tells them, you are now apostles, which means you will go forth as my authorized representatives, kind of like ambassadors. But before that happens, before they are sent forth, Jesus wants them to spend time with him, that they might be with him. That first. Martin Chemnitz, that great Lutheran teacher of the 16th century, wrote, that they might know how that daily instruction of Christ was to shape and prepare them, and for what purpose it should do that. In other words, it's their seminary, their boot camp, before he dispatches them to preach and to drive out the demons. But they are not to preach just anything, but exactly what he gives them to say. And when they end up performing miracles or driving out demons, it's never by some intrinsic power of their own. No, it's always Jesus' power that is at work in them. Never forget how the apostles confess this. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? When Peter and John healed the lame man in the temple, Acts 3:12. Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. We bring you good news, Acts 14:15, when they wanted to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas after healing the cripple in Lystra. Verse 16, he appointed the 12, Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter. Always in the lists of the apostles, Simon Peter comes first. And if you stop and think about it, you might ask, seriously, Lord, that's the best you could do? I'm sure Simon wondered that himself. Chemnitz, yet again, he wanted to humble with that fisherman's lack of guile, that arrogance of the wisdom of the flesh, which was then swelling the Pharisees in Judea and the philosophers of the whole world, and to show that those who want to be wise in the kingdom of Christ must be foolish in the sight of the world. I just mentioned the healing in the temple. Do you remember the fallout in Acts 4:13, where after hearing Peter preach, we're told of the members of the council? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Far from getting rid of the Lord via the crucifixion, the Lord Jesus began his church's assault on the kingdom of darkness in earnest. His disciples' very weakness as uneducated men would testify to the miracle that now they had the wisdom of the Spirit that no one could refute, and a boldness and a joy that flowed from the resurrection of Jesus that set their hearts rejoicing and their lips confessing. So yeah, just like later with St. Paul, with St. Peter too, God's strength is made perfect in weakness. Verse 17, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Boanerges, that is, sons of thunder. So these are the three that get new names, and Chrysostom, that great teacher of Antioch and Constantinople at the end of the 4th century, asks, why? He answers, to show that he was the same one who, in giving the old covenant, altered names, who called Abram, Abraham, and Sarai, Sarah, and Jacob, Israel. I like that a lot. Jesus can rename folks even as he repurposes their lives away from whatever they thought they were going to be doing, to being with him, to being sent forth to preach and to heal, and finally, to suffer and to die for his name. Verse 18, Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot who betrayed him. You might get a hint about why St. Mark put Andrew and Philip together from St. John's Gospel. Those two apparently were always palling around together. James, the son of Alphaeus, is often called in the church James the Less to distinguish him from James, the son of Zebedee, perhaps because he was younger or maybe even shorter. Interesting that here St. Mark calls the tax collector Matthew rather than Levi. Thaddeus is just another name for Judas, and Simon is denoted as a zealot. We'd probably say a terrorist, which is what the Jewish zealots were, agitating for kicking the Romans out of the promised land. And of course, last and least, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Why would Jesus choose a betrayer among his own? Here's the 4th and 5th century church father St. Augustine on the question in his book, City of God. He had among the apostles also Judas, that he might fulfill the arrangement of his passion, and that he might offer the church an example of tolerating the wicked. He, after all, had come to suffer and die, and so there had to be an instrument of his passion. Yet he chose Judas because he wanted him to be with him. The fact that Judas finally departed to go to his own place, as Peter put it in Acts 1, does not alter the will of Jesus that Judas be his. Verse 20, then he went home and the crowd gathered again so that he could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, he is out of his mind. Home again is where he was staying. I do think Peter's house the most likely, but he could have had a place he rented or was allowed to stay in. No matter whether he's retreating to the lakeside or desolate places or hanging out in the city, wherever he was, the crowds found him and they gathered and the crowd grew. And with their nonstop needs, we're told that Jesus didn't even have the leisure to eat. And when word reaches his family about all this, they finally decide Jesus needs an intervention. They need to come and help him get some perspective on this, so that he will at least begin to take care of his own physical needs. It's sensible, and you might think it's the loving thing to do. Gotta set boundaries and watch out for yourself. Jesus, though, was not a boundary setter. And wherever he met human misery and ignorance, he sought to relieve both with healing, freedom from the demons, and teaching. That's where we're going to call it quits for today, people loved by God. Next up, scribes will show up from down south, from Jerusalem, and they'll begin telling the people to stop listening to Jesus because he's obviously possessed by the demons. And whatever miraculous thing he does only by their power. Jesus will point out the nonsensical nature of that explanation and give the correct interpretation of what's going down. The strong man, Satan, is being bound and his goods, humanity, being plundered. Jesus is enlisting people in the great revolt against the revolt. He's bringing allegiance back to the true king. But it's no little thing to trash Jesus as operating with satanic power. He will warn of the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, a sin which he says never has forgiveness. And the evangelist specifically will tie Jesus' words to the scribe's assertion that Jesus had an unclean spirit. Till next time then, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.